Hello and welcome to The Pyramid, a Scottish football podcast where we shine the light on life at clubs across the SPFL, plus many more in the Highland League, Lowland League and beyond. Joining me, Kenny Crawford, for our second episode is St Johnston midfielder Liam Craig, Partick Thistle striker Brian Graham, Arbroath midfielder James Cragan and East Kilbride defender Stephen Bell.
Stephen, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. Have you had a good week?
Thanks for having us, Kenny. Busy week with work. Trying to keep myself fit whilst we have obviously got no games at the moment. So, yeah, busy week considering.
And James Cragan's back as well with us. Arbroath's run keeps on going. James, how is that?
Yeah, another good Saturday for us. Delighted I've made the cut for part two. I thought it was could have gone either way there. But no, yeah, on a good run. So, good weekend.
And Brian Graham, Partick Thistle striker, pleased to have you on board. I understand you're doing some work in your garage at the moment. What's going on?
Oh, I'm having a nightmare, if I'm being honest. I'm trying to put a toilet in to build a bar in my garage and trying to find the waste pipes. I've dug at the side of the house, I've dug it in the garage, and I've still not got the pipes, so I'm having a nightmare.
Well, thanks for taking 5 minutes out to speak to us on the Pyramid podcast. And we've got a cup winner in our presence as well. Liam Craig, how are you after Sunday?
No, it wasn't. No, only disappointed, no supporters there, but you know, waited a long time to win a major trophy. So, yeah, still on a high from the weekend.
Liam, we'll stick with you at the moment because it's obviously been an unbelievable achievement for St Johnston and you to win that Scottish League Cup. And the photo that you posted on your own Twitter timeline and the one that we saw in many newspapers was you at the full-time whistle, down on your knees, hands in the air. It just looked like sheer relief. Is that what it was?
It is, and it's a moment that all the hard work for when, you know, all of us in here today have worked that for the moment since we were, you know, weak boys playing in the park. You dream about days like that, and at 34, I thought the opportunity had passed me by probably to have a day like that. I would have still been, you know, delighted with the career I've had, but certainly when Big Sean Rooney's running up that line, I know there's only about 10 seconds to go, we've done it, and relief's probably a great word to use because, you know, having seen St Johnston win the Scottish Cup in 2014, you know, after I'd left, and then seeing Hibs win it in 2016 after I'd left, I thought maybe I'm the cup final jinx. So, especially after losing 6 semi-finals. So, no, it was brilliant to have that moment and just take it all in. And as I say, the celebrations after it were well worth it as well.
You've already been at St Johnston for a number, I think, well over 400 appearances. And you've, as you mentioned, you've been there for one spell, left and come back again. You'd also tweeted what your kids, I think you've got 3 kids, had drawn you some nice pictures before the game to wish you luck. What was it like after they had done that to be able to go home and see them and tell them you'd won and share that with them?
No, that's, you know, a big disappointment, them not being able to be at the game because, you know, there's a lot of lows in football and they've had to go through a lot of them with me. So it would have been nice to have shared, you know, such a great moment with them on the pitch at the end. But I managed to FaceTime them. But they'd made a card for me and sent it to the club with pictures that they'd myself and them over the years, you know, whether it'd been mascots at games or, you know, just on the pitch at the end of season or whatever. And, you know, I used to love going to watch my dad playing football, albeit it was East of Scotland and Border Amateur. But I used to love going and, you know, still remember going. So to share all the moments with my kids was brilliant. And, you know, wee things like that do, they mean a lot, especially in the build-up to such a big week. And it started the week off nice. And like you say there, I was lucky enough to bring a winner's medal home to show off to them.
Liam, I seen congratulations again, by the way. Fantastic achievement. I seen a tweet the other day, and it was, I think, I don't know if you remember it. I'm sure you will. It was you and Pedro Moutinho, your Falkirk days.
Yeah.
And I think it was in 2006, a young player at the time, making a start there. And I remember the game, it was against Stirling Albion, and I actually played against you. You remember it?
I do remember it because it was a horrific night at Forth Bank for the Stirlingshire Cup. And that was a tournament, obviously, just being a young boy coming back to Falkirk from Ipswich at the time. That you just thought we wanted to win it as well. And we were probably, being the Premier League at the time, favourites to win it every year. But my biggest story probably the Stirlingshire Cup. The year after, East Stirling beat us on a Tuesday night, 2-1 at the Falkirk Stadium. And then the same group of players went out and played Ajax on the Saturday in a pre-season friendly and beat them. And you're sort of weighing it up going, how does that happen? But, you know, that's just football for you. But no, I remember the game. I think I maybe scored that night as well. I'd need to ask Gordon who posted the picture. But no, I certainly remember it being a horrendous night at Forth Bank. But up until the other day, that was one of the only trophies I'd won in my career.
That's what I was going to say to you. Do you think that looking back on that, and I'm sure that got tweeted before the cup final, by the way. And as I said, I remember a game very well. I actually remember playing against you, like directly against you, and I thought you're a good player. He'll go on to do better things.
You have to say that now, Stephen. You're on a podcast with him. You can't go controversial now. He's a cup winner.
He's far worse over the years to me.
He used to elbow me.
I remember you being at Dundee United, Brian. I had a few fights with you. It was the same on Saturday. I mean, I've just saw back a picture of me and Holtie, you know, rolling about on the park for about 20 seconds with each other, and the game's still going on. And, you know, I played with Holtie at St Johnstone last year. He was alone for Rangers, and I get on brilliantly with him. And that's just it, when, you know, in the heat of a game, and you do stuff, you look back and you go, what am I doing? With people that you have obviously loads of respect for as well, and build, you know, friendships with. But at the end of the day, it is all about winning, and you do what you can to win, I suppose.
And touching what you're saying there, Liam, as well, that was one of the probably only trophies you've won before Sunday there. And I know you've missed out a few times in semi-finals. Do you think your age, 34, you're saying, do you think that makes it that bit extra special as well? And the fact that your kids and your family are watching you?
Aye, no, absolutely. I think, you know, you never ever give up, and you always believe that it might happen. But no, you're right. I mean, at the start of this season, I signed a 6-month contract with St Johnstone. So you couldn't have told me back in the summer that I'd be lifting one of the three major trophies in February. Probably I just wanted to play games and try and get a contract till the end of the season. So to go and experience that at the weekend was incredible. And to give all our supporters, listen, it's tough for everyone just now, but to give all our supporters a trophy like that this season, when it's been so difficult for everybody, it makes it even more special as well.
Just going back to Sunday, just mentioned there about you saw big Sean Rooney striding down the wing with 10 seconds to go. Was it literally at that point you thought you'd won it?
I knew we'd won it. The 2 minutes had went up and the ball breaks to Sean, and I knew we were deep into it. And I'm actually just shouting, Don, blow the whistle, because I knew we were nearly there. And when you see Sean going in the corner there, you go, you know what, we've done it. And, you know, that's when it hits home. All the hard work's paid off, and all the sacrifices you've made throughout your whole career. You've played in some horrendous games, some tough defeats, but you always just dream of a day like that. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I've managed to experience it. It's took me 500 and however many games, but delighted that it finally came.
Brian, you had disappointment in the Cup in 2014 with Dundee United, but you've also had that feeling of winning the League Cup with Ross County in 2016. How much did watching Liam on Sunday and watching St Johnstone bring back those feelings of 2016 for you?
Oh, definitely. I think you see the picture when he's on his knees with his arms up. I remember when the final whistle going, just running, arms out. And it was an outer body experience. You're just, it was some feeling, you just can't really describe it. You're looking up. I was quite lucky. Obviously, there was crowds allowed back then. And you look up and you see your family and you get a wee lump in the throat. And it was a special occasion. Obviously, the first time with Dundee United, we lost against Johnson. My wee boy wasn't balling at the time. But I felt, the second time round, my family was complete. No more kids. I got to have my kids on the pitch. Got pictures taken with them. Memories that will last forever. And still to this day, I'm proud of that moment. So I understand where Liam was coming from with the excitement and how much it felt to him.
It was a shout scored the last kick of the ball, more or less, as well. I remember watching it. And I spoke to Dave Gray, obviously, this morning. And he scored the last minute when Hibs won the Scottish Cup as well. So I can only imagine what that feeling's like. You score the last minute win in a normal game, but never in a game of that size. The feeling must have just been
crazy. Obviously, Shout scores and we're all going mad. I think there's a couple of minutes left. Andrew Davis, the centre-half, he's had a cut. He's had to go off. I've ended up at centre-half. The balls are coming. I'm just trying to headle and kick things away. And I think Fontaine, I think he hits the bar with 10 seconds to go. I think the keeper tips onto the bar, and when that final whistle went, it was, as I say, it was out-of-body experience. It was incredible.
Liam, how good is Rooney? Because I've heard a lot of and read a lot of articles, heard things on the radio saying, people even saying you might have a late run to the Scotland Euro squad because that right-hand side has been a bit of a problem position. How good is he in your eyes?
You know, in the changing room, he's second to none for a teammate. He's bubbly. I mean, this week in training, obviously we're split up over 4 dressing rooms just now, but I don't know if I'm lucky or unlucky to have him in my one. But this week he brought in this big boombox on wheels with a microphone, and that's the last thing he needs. He's loud enough as it is, but he's had to bide his time this season. Obviously, Danny McNamara came in. He was the manager's first signing, and he was brilliant for us for the first 6 months of the season. But it shows what a top pro that, you know, Sean is, that he's worked hard. Probably the League Cup, when Danny was away on international duty, gave him a chance to, you know, really play his part, and he's been excellent for us. And even when he's filled in at right to the 3 at centre back, so he's just got better and better with more confidence. And you know, you look at, he scores in the quarterfinal to put us 1-0 up at Dunfermline. He scores in the semi-final to put us 2-0 up against Hibs, and then scores the winner in the final. And I think if you asked any of the players, they were just delighted for him because he's such a bubbly character. You know, and I look at him, he went down to York a couple of years ago as well, came back up to Inverness. So, and like a lot of that squad, and the boys will back me up here, you know, they've all been, you know, places where it's been difficult and you've had to work hard to get an opportunity to go and have a day like we had the other day. And, you know, you look at maybe six or seven boys that started, all came through St Johnstone's Academy, but they were all at loan in the lower leagues, you know, going through difficult times. I think big Liam Gordon got relegated when he was at Peterhead on loan. Big Xander was at Elgin, then at Queen of the South. Jason at East Fife, Queen of the South. So they've all, even Ali McCann, who's been sensational, was at Stranraer struggling at the bottom of League One. But whenever you heard reports back, it was just how much they loved him about the way he went about his business. So, you know, everyone's got their own wee backstory how we got there. And Brian's been at the club. He knows what the club's like, what the changing room is like. And that's probably the one thing I would say. You know, I won the First Division in 2009. I played with a lot of players that won the Scottish Cup in 2014. And this group of players got that same spirit and same belief, but they've got that work ethic and that they want to do well for each other first and foremost. And the good thing for us is that it's a very young squad with loads of potential moving forward.
Touching on that, Liam, I spoke to Sean Welsh up in Inverness, and he said that, you know, I think he, you know, Rooney, all the potential, you know, big frame, natural, but it was just kind of getting maybe his mentality right as well. And I think he was saying that, you know, he got him working out with him in the gym and just the importance of using his strength and just, you know, making him believe that he's got a right good chance here.
That's it. I mean, I go back to that last 10 seconds. You knew he was the one guy that could take that ball up into that corner and nobody was going to push him off the ball. So, you know, maybe if it was me running up into the corner, the back three would have dropped off a bit further knowing I was going to get caught on it. But no, and you're absolutely right. I just think he's got everything to be a top, top player, and he's only going to get more confidence from, you know, the last 2 or 3 months and what he's done for the club. And, you know, if you're going to pick players that are playing well and on form, then, you know, if he continues to play like this for the next 8 games of the season, then, you know, I think he's got a good a chance of anyone definitely to put his cell in the thoughts of the Scotland manager.
Ryan, looking back at your career, we've talked about Liam there, who was at Ipswich as a youth and then he came back up and he was at Falkirk and St Johnstone and Hibs. He stayed quite centrally based for most of his career, probably stayed generally in the same area. But Brian, you've been up at Ross County, you've been down at Cheltenham, as well as Hibs and Partick Thistle and other places. How much of that has been awkward in terms of you moving your family around? I imagine by the time you're at Ross County and Cheltenham, you had some kids on board and you had to cart them around. What was it like? Give us a bit of insight.
Aye, to be fair, it was a bit of a nightmare. Obviously, the first time I went to Ross County, but I was at St Johnstone on loan and I was having a good season. I finished top goal scorer that year and I was hanging about, waiting on Tommy Wright giving me a contract. Agent was on the phone to him. But the wife was pregnant with the second child. Jim McIntyre offered me a deal. I remember it. I go up, sign the deal. On the way back down A9, my agent phones me, that's St Johnstone just sent across a 2-year deal. And I says, well, too late. This has been going on for January. It was the middle of March, I think. I've signed the pre-contract. So the next day, I've gone to, we're training at Stirling on Thursday. So I says to Tommy, can I have a word? He's like, aye, but your contract, no bother. Come on in here. I thought, here we go. So me and him are just sitting in this wee changing room at Stirling Albion. I says, listen, I've signed a contract somewhere else. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, Ross County. And he just went like that and walked out the room. He wouldn't really play me for a wee while, but we needed a result against Dundee to finish top six, and he put me back in the team and I scored the winner that day. We won 1-0, and I had a good relationship with him after that. But I think if he'd offered me the contract a lot sooner, then I would have signed, because as Liam says, back then the dressing room I was in at St Johnstone was one of the best I've been in. Absolutely loved it. It was all older, experienced guys, seeing how they went about their business. And as I said, it was a good upbringing. I was still relatively young at the time. So seeing how these older guys approach training, approach games, they wanted to kill each other in training as if it was a game. So it was that mentality side that you still learn from these sort of guys. But going back to moving the family, like my wee boy had just been born, went up, the wife comes up with 2 kids and we eventually rent a place. She was a wee bit homesick. She left after 6 months. She couldn't handle it because of the 2 kids. It was a bit hard for her. I was away training all the time, and I moved in with Scott Fox, but it was only for a few months because I ended up coming back down the road to Hibs after a year, after winning the Cup. So I was back down the road and they were all happy and everything was great. And then I got a call to go to Cheltenham and I says to her, how do you think about moving to Cheltenham? She's like, I no bother. So she's been great. My my wee daughter, she was at school at the time, so she's had to move into a new school, and she found it difficult at the start, but she got there, and just as we're getting really settled, everything was going really well, the phone goes again, and Stuart Kettlewell and Stephen Ferguson's like, do you want to come back to County? I was like, why no? So I'm just here, there and everywhere, so it's a hell of a journey, man, but I've enjoyed my career so far, and I still think I've got a few years left in the old legs yet.
Touching on what Brian said there, you know, people didn't realise just, you know, they see us for an hour and a half on a Saturday and they think that's all we do. They don't realise is that we've got the same pressure, same responsibilities, same worries as every other parent out there. You know, and if you have a bad game on a Saturday, they don't know what the Friday night's brought. You know, your kid could have been up all night, sick, ill, whatever, but they still expect you to go and perform every Saturday. And that's what's been great now that I've got kids that are at school and you speak to, you know, supporters of other clubs. They sometimes look at you as if to say, should he not be at training or should he not be doing this? They didn't realise that you've still got to do all the same stuff that any other parent does when you've got a family.
You're no different from anybody in the street. That's what I always say. Just because we play football, people put us in this pedestal, but at the end of the day, everybody's just the same with the same responsibilities. I remember I'd signed for Ross County. I drove up to County and then obviously my house down the road had to bring all my stuff back up. So me and the wife one Sunday gets a train from Glasgow down, hired a van, filled the van up, drove through the night back home on the Monday, emptied the van and then drove back up the road on the Monday and back in training on the Tuesday. It's just hectic.
The thing is as well, Brian, especially when you're down in England, you're travelling everywhere. There's no base in an area, so one day you could be at Torquay and the next day you could be or 2 days later at Hartlepool. It's one end of the country to the other. Similar in Ross County as well, where you're up and down that A9 constantly.
That's where the missus found it a bit difficult because obviously down in England you play Saturday, Tuesday constantly. Even at Easter you play Saturday, Monday. You could be everywhere. So 9 times out of 10, we're away staying in hotels and she's in the house with 2 kids on her own and trying to make friends for herself. And it was probably difficult for her, but at the same time I'm getting to enjoy myself. I'm doing a job that I love and looking back, it was probably a bit much I've asked for her.
Brian, I was down there last year. We played in London on the Saturday, in the stand. Back down on the Tuesday, in the stand. Couldn't believe it. All the lads were like, got to a point where I was just looking like having a laugh with them on the back of the bus and stuff like that. Just, you know, trying to put a positive spin on it. But that was tough, going down on a Friday night in the stand, then back on the, I think we travelled then on the Tuesday, but then stayed over Tuesday after the game. But a lot of travelling, isn't it? A lot of travelling.
Yeah,
James, talking about you being down south though and talking about cup memories, you had that brilliant when you were at Fylde. It was an FA Cup against Sheffield United, wasn't it? That must have been a memorable experience.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously growing up in like Preston area, obviously you guys were the Scottish Cup, it's all like the FA Cup there, and now went to watch kind of like non-league games, you know, when there's or a non-league team against in the third round against kind of like a Premiership side, always wanting like the underdog to win. And you know, at Fylde, being in the National League, it was a great achievement for us to get to the third round. You know, we got quite lucky, I'd say, with the draw. We always played just like non-league teams, really. And then we obviously got in the hat, Sheffield United away at Bramall Lane. Now, it was a great experience, obviously, playing against Basham, Royal Morrison. And, you know, we kept it respectful as well. Got it to 2-1 and then had a few chances at the end. You know, a few corners. Everyone's piled in the box, just trying to cause some sort of mayhem in there. But it wasn't meant to be. But good experience. It was nice to kind of like tick that off, you know, of the box just to play in the FA Cup, really. So, now obviously it was a bit of a disappointing spell for me in the hole down there. I think, as probably Brian will say, is I think they don't really take it too seriously what like Scottish lads coming down there. They think it's just a bit of a Mickey Mouse kind of like league up in Scotland, which is not the case at all. That's what I found then. Until they see you actually on the pitch and you're training and your standards, then they realize, actually, oh yeah, it's quite a good level this you've played at, isn't it? So, but it was a good experience.
They used to think we're coming down for Scotland, it was easy. And then I would turn around and argue, half of yous, so-and-sos, wouldn't even get a game in the Scottish League. Just have, they just think they would come up here and it'd be easy. But 9 times out of 10, I would say most of them would struggle.
I agree with that. It's completely different. I mean, and also it's like, obviously you've played at a high level than myself, but in the National League as well, it's like, they might be a bit more physical, but technically some of them would be well behind, even at that Championship level. They would struggle to get technically into Championship level teams, so. No, but it's a different ball game, but a good experience.
We played a game with Stranraer down in, we played Fylde pre-season. It was a Friday night and we're all working during the day. We get the bus down to the game. Setup was great. We beat them 2-0. I'm no lying when I say this, by the way. There wasn't a player under 6'2". They were all monsters. They were all about 14 stone of muscle. beat them 2-0. I remember playing against this big guy up front. He was like Ian Dowie. And every time the ball went up, but it was worse than you, by the way, Brian, at elbowing. He was throwing his elbows everywhere. I was like, calm down, big man, it's a friendly. No, you're right what you're saying. I've played against a few English teams in friendlies and that, and very physical, but no, Scottish leagues have got good players, as you know. And going back to what you said earlier on, Liam, as well, about Rooney and obviously McCart and guys like Kane at St Johnstone as well, guys who've came for a lower level. I know Kane's obviously came for a US, but he played at Dumbarton and loan and that. There's a lot of good players playing in the SPL just now that have played Championship, League 1, League 2, and worked their way up. And I think, look at guys like Rooney and even Alan Forrest at Livingston now, who's doing really well. Scott Robinson, he was at East Fife for a period as well. I think, as you said, Liam, when you go down a level, it can become a bit more challenging, and that's when you see the real resilience in the players. You can build the kind of characteristics to build their way back and then realise what they actually do have and playing in the Premier League and the lifestyle it can provide.
And you go there not thinking you're above it. You go there to work hard and learn from the players around about you. I mean, I've been lucky this season. The managers let me look after the lone players, and I've seen Kenny at a few of the games. But when I'm going up to Montrose to watch Cammy Ballantyne, you're looking at the players round about him and you go, these boys are only going to help him become a better player. Like, you've got boys like Sean Dillon and Big Paul Watson at Montrose with Cammy that are only going to help him and make him better. But the good thing with Cammy is he wants to go there and do well for himself, but do well for Montrose. And, you know, it's the same way. One of the boys that texts me, it was actually 7 o'clock yesterday morning, was Big Michael Dewberry, you know, who I was lucky enough to play with. When he came up to Scotland, you know, you spoke about it earlier, Brian, as well, about the boys at St Johnstone. And we've got Craig Bryce and Craig Conway now, who are just ultimate pros, and you can see why they've had such great careers. And Dubs was the same. He came up here and just bought into, he'd done everything in the game, but he bought into what St Johnstone was all about. He bought into the people of Perth, and he was brilliant for the younger players. And when you've got characters like that round about you, wanting to help you and wanting you to get the best out of you, it only makes you better. And now, you know, I'm fortunate that there's a young team at St Johnstone, but I'm in a position where I can help them. And there's no, people can tell you whatever they want, but we've got, like, the four of us speaking to young players, we've been through all, there's no much that we'll know or seen in terms of a dressing room or on the park or something happening. And I think the best advice that any young players can get is of senior pros who, well, good senior pros, listen, there'll be some bad ones out there as well, but certainly, you know, there'll be ones there that can give them better advice than what any agent or anyone outside the game can give them. And I've been lucky in my career, we had good pros above me. And now you just want to pass that information on, and you want these players to go and really give themselves the career that their potential deserves. Because how many young players have we seen now that are very good when they're younger, but they drift out the game? And, you know, whether it comes down to attitude or a bit of bad luck. And that's what, when I'm looking at the younger players now, and that's what I take a lot of pride in, that team that started yesterday, that a lot of them came through St Johnstone's Academy. And a lot of them were out on loan at the lower leagues, but really bought into what their clubs were doing and came back much better players for it.
William, give us a bit of insight into, you mentioned going out and watching the loan players there. When you've been to a game and watched them, is it a phone call to them that night? Is it a text? Is it a phone call in the morning? Because I would imagine a young loan player is desperate to know what you thought when you've been watching.
Well, to be fair, some of the times I don't tell them I'm going, because that can obviously put a bit more pressure on them, if you like. And if I've got a game, I'd always watch the games back, and what we did, I'd speak to them about the game, see what they thought they did well, and then say it was Cammy Ballantyne 1 week. If I watched it, I'd watch a couple of his games, and then I would clip them. So you'd maybe have maybe between 15 and 20 clips, say, you know, some good things, some bad things, no bad things, but stuff that you could improve on if you like. And then I'd sit down with the manager or Stephen McLean or Alec Cleland, and I'd say, look, this is what I'm looking at here, what do you think? And then they would say yes or no, or we'll look at that one. And then I would go over it with the player. And it's great that the manager's got that trust in me. But certainly, it's helping me for a coaching side as well, in terms of what they're looking for and how I can maybe help other players. I'd like to think that I'm a good pro in terms of the career I've had to try and help these younger players. So then we'll go over the video with them. And then a couple of games later, you know, whether it's maybe pressing, because I'd speak to the manager what he's looking for the players and what he's wanting them to work on, you know, and see if they've improved or if they've got better at different things. One of the things for Bally was, I was saying to him, he's doing brilliant, but he needs to put himself in a position where he's got to score goals, especially when he's playing off the front man. You know, and a few weeks later, nothing to do with me, it's purely down to him, but he goes and scores 2 goals. But it's just trying to get me think about being in better positions, because obviously I've played centre mid long enough, that's somewhere that I can help him. But again, if he's at Montrose, he's got to do what the manager and what their coaching staff's telling him. But certainly from our point of view, it's just to try and help him and guide him and make him aware of different situations that might happen.
Good kid as well, Cammy. When I came back up last year, I did a couple of training sessions with Montrose as well, and I was impressed by him just all around as a player, but as a person as well. He's always really responsive to getting a bit of advice from, you know, older players, more experienced players as well. And we played them in the League Cup, and I had about 4 weeks training with them after January before COVID hit, and he was the first person to call out, "James, how are you? How's it going?" Do you know what I mean? He's a nice lad.
Yeah. And what I tell them the most is, you know, you look at the current first team squad, it's made up of boys like Cammy Ballantyne that went out on loan. I keep going back to it, but it is. So it shows that, you know, if you're going to do it properly, you'll get opportunities to play in the first team. And, you know, you look at someone like Ali McCann, you know, 18 months ago, he was on loan at Stranraer, and now, you know, he's a Northern Ireland internationalist, and he's just won his first trophy at the age of 21. So, and now he's got the potential to go and have a great career. And he's the sort of boy as well that will keep his feet on the ground and only get better and better and listen to good people round about him. And, you know, already with his trips away to Northern Ireland, he speaks about Stephen Davis and how much of a big influence he's been on him. And again, it just speaks volumes for him that he takes time out to speak to someone like Ali, who he's never probably met before, but he wants to help him.
In the last 5 minutes, let's kind of round up our chat about Partick Thistle, Brian, because you went there obviously a year or so ago and scoring a good amount of goals. No action so far in the last few weeks because of the suspension, although starting to look like clubs might be going back into training shortly from some of the sounds we're starting to hear. But when you joined Partick Thistle, were they a much bigger club than you thought they were before you joined?
No, if I'm being honest, I only stayed 10 minutes from the ground, so I know Partick Thistle are a big club. I know when they get to League Cup finals, they've got great backing and stuff like that, but it was always a club I wanted to play for because it was local. If I'm being honest, I knocked it back a few times to go elsewhere because I felt a better fit at the time. If they were still in the Championship, and maybe I had a chance to go in Premier League. So, but to get the chance, the opportunity, I felt as if I could go there and help them last season and save them, basically, stay up in the Championship. And I think we were slowly but surely getting there before everything, obviously, the pandemic happened. But the sounds of it, Nicola Sturgeon's on the TV at the moment. I think we're getting a bit of good news in the lower leagues again. They go ahead to at least start trainings. My phone's going mad, but I can't obviously see it because I'm only talking to you, guys.
James, what's your abiding memory? You're obviously a bit of a Partick Thistle favourite from the years you've spent there. What's your abiding memory of the club and the people there?
I loved it. I loved my time there. Obviously, the club will always have a special place with me. They gave me my chance in the professional game. Jackie McNamara signed us from university level. And obviously, to get promoted in the first year, I always remember going back to talk about, you know, trophies or winning championships. I think that was my first year and I obviously got promoted. And I remember Alan Archibald always said, he goes, look, he said, just take this moment because you might have, you know, you only start your career with a young squad, but this doesn't come around, you know, very often, you know, winning leagues and winning cups. And I think at the time I was like, first year, first trophy, like, there'll be a couple more of these. I haven't won anything since. I haven't got close to anything since. So that bit of advice has always stuck with me. So when Liam talks about, you know, being so close in finals and semi-finals, it's true. It's true. It's just, you know, you've got to enjoy the moments with it, and because it doesn't happen too often. But no, great club, Partick Thistle. Been dealt kind of like a raw hand over the last couple of years. I mean, we could probably do another podcast on all that, but I just hope they get back up and challenging where they belong, really.
We'll definitely come back to Partick Thistle again in the future. But Stephen, just in the, we've got 3 minutes left of our podcast. I want to just touch on Ayr United quickly because one guy who I've really admired over the last couple of years, actually a managerial partnership I've really admired, are Mark Kerr and Michael McArdle. And I did a feature with them for BBC a year ago, and I was really impressed with how they worked. It's not turned out the way they would have wanted it. How surprised were you about that? And what would you have to say about Mark Kerr and Ayr United at the moment?
First of all, I'm sure I speak for all of us here because we all know Mark very well in this podcast. I'm disappointed that he's obviously lost his job, and I'll be honest, I was pretty shocked at it. He's been in the job for 16 months and he's had to kind of oversee a complete overhaul of the squad. It's been like that for the past probably 3 years at Ayr United, where they've lost between 10 and 15 first-team players. When I say first-team players, guys, it will start every week. And he's had to completely revamp a squad, which isn't easy, and the boys will tell you that themselves. I spoke to him briefly, just to obviously offer my condolences and stuff like that. But knowing what Mark is like, this will no hold him back. He'll find himself in another job somewhere because he's got unbelievable leadership skills and qualities alongside Michael McArdle, as you said as well. When they got the job and when Michael came in, they tried to kind of bring the club forward a bit. Me, McCall and Neil Scally done a fantastic job at Ayr the last 4 or 5 years as well and getting us into the playoffs. And Ayr United are now seen as a club that should be pushing for playoffs every year. And when you've got that overhaul of players constantly, you lose a lot of kind of leadership in your dressing room, touching what Liam said. I mean, leadership is massive in a dressing room, especially coming from good senior players. And at Ayr United over the past 3-4 years, they've had that in abundance with 5 or 6. And Mark being one of them. And when you take him out of the dressing room and the number of other players that have left the club, that's difficult to replace. I was shocked because either they're not in a great position just now, but they've got games in hand. They're no far off 3rd and 4th place, 5-6 points. When you go a small run, as James's team at Profit doing just now, if you go on a small run, you can propel yourself up that league. So, yeah, Mark will go on to other things, but hopefully I'll get out of the position they're in just now.
Thanks very much for listening to The Pyramid, a Scottish football podcast where we shine the light on life at clubs across the SPFL, plus many more in the Highland League, Lowland League and beyond. Grateful to St Johnston midfielder Liam Craig, Partick Thistle striker Brian Graham, our Broth midfielder James Cragan and East Kilbride defender Stephen Bell for joining me, Kenny Crawford, and we hope you'll tune into The Pyramid again next time.